'Twas a baby.
If you want to loan that, I have a copy of it. This is one for kids. I often used to use the CRE in all different places, but it's a shorter version than the longer version. It's a great one. As kids explain it, I found it very helpful indeed. Mary. Yeah, we often focus on Mary at Christmas times because of the virgin birth and Joseph's travel into Bethlehem. But at Easter and other times, like Mother's Day, her perspective is not often looked at, especially in churches like us, Baptist churches and Churches of Christ, Protestant churches, sometimes because we go back and that we don't want to glorify Mary, so we sort of take a step backwards. But I think we can learn a lot from Mary, because she was chosen by God and her heart was submitted to God's will. So we're going to look at a few bits today as we look at Scripture, some of those accounts which give us some idea of Mary. In doing so, I want to look at those four characteristics I mentioned before: trusting, expectant, anxious, and hopeful, under the title of Mary, a heart submitted to God's will. The first word I will look at is trusting. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, 26 through to 2:20, we find the account of Jesus' birth. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. It was a legal status. It was a legal status for a whole year. She was a virgin and they didn't live in their own house, but she was betrothed, set aside. The actual law required that a man who committed adultery to a betrothed virgin should be stoned for violating a neighbour's wife. So it was a formal thing, but they weren't living together at that time. And we find Mary's visited by an angel, and she asks the question, well, how can I have a baby? Because I'm a virgin. My husband is not even living in my house with me. How can this be? Mary's response we find in Luke 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Then we find that Mary visits Elizabeth. But what about Joseph? Well, we find in Matthew 1 and 19, when he found out, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. Had to be a divorce back in that betrothal period. This would have been a stigma for both Mary and for Joseph. Remember, they lived in a little village, pretty hard to hide. I've noticed when Lynn had her three children, it was fairly obvious when she was going to have them as she got a bit more bigger and larger, not in height, but in that other side. And can you imagine walking around in that village being very, very hard? And the stigma of this would have been extremely high for them. Well, Joseph is visited by an angel, confirmed again that the virgin birth was by the Holy Spirit. Well, they both travelled to Bethlehem as part of the census, but also to fulfil what was prophesied. And you find in Micah 5, verse 2, but to you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Jesus was born in a place where animals were kept. Then we find the angel went to the nearby field to shepherds announcing the birth. They come and visit Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And I love this. What was Mary's response after having the baby and everything else? What was her response to this? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you picture that? When he's saying, really not really certain about what was really going on, but she pondered them in her heart. Mary especially, she was trusting in God, that God has spoken to her through the angel. And above all the controversy, above all the unknown, above what the future held, Mary was trusting. But the question is, can we do that? That's what Christian faith is about. It's trusting, not a blind trust, but trust we can sometimes be filled with outside kind of controversy. I remember my mum. I was born in England. Mum and dad, we were from the lower class. And I remember Mum was the more Christian-focused person in our family. But I remember when it was said that we were going to move from England to Australia, Mum prayed about that. She was trusted that God was going to provide for that. But then we came to a brand new country. There wasn't any kangaroos bouncing down the main street in Croydon. I couldn't ride a horse to school. I was devastated. But Mum was that focal person that trusted that this was God's plan for us. God's plan for us as a family as well. And that he provided work. We worked for my dad straight away. That we started off at the Methodist Church and Mum prayed. And then we went to Moorabbike Baptist Church and God led as Mum listened to him. It was very important. Peter, I'll share you a thing for me. In my Millgrove Baptist Church, at Aberfeldy Baptist Church, at Friendly Gully Baptist Church, I would wear a tie only on one Sunday, Mother's Day, and all the people would go, "Is your mum here?" They'd always know if my mum was there, I had a tie on in Mother's Day. So, but my mum has passed away now. She's not in church, so I haven't got to wear it. That's the theory I work on. Trusting. There's a great Bible verse which has helped me, and I know Mum, through unknown times. It comes from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Did anyone happen to know that one? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? I'll flick it up for you, right? Here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I think the NIV has, he will make your pathway straight. Not quite certain as the exact translation. He will direct your paths through those times which are up and down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, I want to move on to expectant. And if you look at passages like Luke 2, 23 to 35, we saw on the video before, firstly we find mentioned that Jewish males were circumcised after 8 days. But Luke is not so interested in the circumcision. He's interested in the name given by the angel that it would be Jesus. Following circumcision, the law provided that after the birth of a son, a woman was counted as unclean for a period of 40 days. As such, she would keep away from holy places. For a daughter, it was double that period of time. But after the 40 days, it was a special time. As Jesus was the firstborn to open the male's womb, he was called holy to the Lord. What was significant about the visit was meeting with Simeon. We don't know much about Simeon, besides he lived in Jerusalem, and we find out he was a just and devout man. But also it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Well, this was going to be one of those really big moments in Mary's life especially. And we find this in Luke 2, 34 to 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Can you picture Mary that period of time? They've just gone to the offering Jesus. Simeon rocks up and announces to Mary, and we find that he didn't to Joseph, but that he points to Mary and says, "Mary, I've got to tell you this. This is something about your son. He will be the Messiah. But many will speak against him. Actually, your heart will be pierced like a sword when you see your son rejected. And ultimately, he's crucified. But also, some hearts will be revealed." Can you picture Mary at that time? As we heard before, that she pondered these things in her heart. Do you think she's pondering now? What will this mean? And I'm certain this would have left Mary wondering, expecting for what would happen to her son Jesus. And I think most mothers are expecting what their children will do. Certainly Mary would have been. My mother was. You may know me as Tony. My mother named me Anthony. That's how I was named. The reason being, so I was always called Tony at home. My mother thought if I was a lawyer or a doctor, I may want to use the name Anthony more than Tony. And that's what's behind the whole. She always called me Tony. I rarely ever use the term Anthony. I think I have used the term Reverend Anthony Thomas Burgum a couple of times when I'm writing to try to influence somebody. Then I use Anthony. But I rarely, I think my mum used Anthony every now and again, usually when I was in trouble, was when Anthony was used. But my mum was expectant about, okay, what would happen to me? And I remember picking up my mum and dad, who'd been overseas in 1993, and picking up from the airport. And I announced them on the way home in the car, Mum, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to this place called BCV to train. My mum wasn't too surprised, actually. She wasn't shocked. My dad was very quiet. My dad was a very quiet man. I think my mum, expectant, because I would be one of the first people to actually do a higher education as well. And Mum would have loved that. I know Mum loved to come to church. My dad would cry as I preached. But my mum was expectant. What will my son be? And I reckon Mary at this time is expectant about what would her son. Mothers like Mary are not ones who push their own ideas and ambitions on their children, but as for Jesus, allowed him to grow up to serve the Lord as his father. So first we had the word was trusting. Second, expectant. Then we find the words anxious. If you turn to Luke 2, 41 and 52, we find some anxiousness. We find the account of Joseph and Mary going to Jerusalem, an annual event for the Passover. This account of Luke 2 is when Jesus was 12. At age 12, the boys became preparing to take place in the religious community the following year. There's a bar mitzvah. Mary and Joseph left to go home, assuming that Jesus was with the other relatives. After one day, they could not find him. I recall losing one of my children in Kmart for about a minute, and I was panicking, let alone for 3 days. Then after 3 days, they found Jesus at the synagogue, listening and talking with various teachers. In verse 48, we find that his parents, we find this. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you with anxiously." Mothers can be anxious for their children, perhaps even more, I think, than dads, perhaps even more as they grow up. This anxiousness is loving, caring concern. I believe God has created into women, mothers, that special bond which comes through birth. Often strong bonds are created between a mother and their child. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill, who used to be the Prime Minister back in the United Kingdom, for his approval of a list of those who've been Churchill's teachers. Churchill returned the list with a comment, "You have omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." Then in Luke 2, verses 49 to 51, did that change over? Yes, it did. "And he said to them, 'Why do you seek me?' Jesus said to them, 'Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject to them, but his mother kept all those things in her heart." Well, we've had trusting, expectant, anxious. I want to finish off with hopeful. So we turn to Luke 22. If you go through from verse 54 to Luke 23, 49, but also add on John 19. We find the account of Jesus' crucifixion and we find hopeful. Think of how difficult it would have been for Mary to see her son unjustly executed in a barbaric way. humiliated upon the cross. If you've ever seen the film, the Passion of Christ, I think I've only watched it once. I couldn't stand it more than once, but I watched it once. There's a scene there as Jesus is going along. He's passed the cross over to another person, and the crowds are screaming at him. In that scene, you see Mary in a little side street watching as Jesus passes by. Can you imagine what she's feeling? Can you imagine what she's thinking at that period of time? How difficult it would have been for her. But then we find Mary going to the cross with Jesus' brothers, and Peter actually read this out before. And we find this, some of his last words on the cross. Now, they stood by the cross with Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. How he focused upon, he knew his mother. We sometimes just think that, okay, well, he sort of grew up, he was there. But we lose this part where he was living at home with Mary and Joseph for those years, as she was the influence upon him, the way she cared for him, the way she cooked for him, all those. And we sometimes don't, we lose that picture. But I love those words, that Mary kept those things in her heart and pondered over them often. I've spent many times with parents in the past, and there's a universal comment. No parent expects to bury their own child. We don't expect our child to die. Can you imagine Mary at that period of time as she looks upon the cross and knowing what's going to happen there? In times of tragedy, times of pain, we need hope to hang on to. Mary, having her heart submitted to God, will and cope even though much torment. Remember, we focused earlier, Mary's response, the things that she kept in her heart. This was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary son. This was Jesus the Messiah. For Mary, I'm certain there was hope. Hope that God was in control. Hope that even though she was experiencing pain and sorrow, there was hope. And can I tell you, hope is a powerful thing when we're going through times of torment, we're going through times of trial, when we're going through sickness, when we're going through, and I know for mothers, and I think even more than dads, when our children go off and do things that we just think you shouldn't be doing that. But there's a hope as they keep on praying for their children especially. We sometimes sing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." The author was Horatio Spafford. He wrote this hymn back in 1873 when passing over the spot on the Atlantic Ocean where his wife, a bit earlier on, and his four daughters had been on the ship, which was hit by another one, and the ship actually sank. Only his wife was saved. Spafford's hope, as he crossed over, the actual captain called Spafford and said, "Look, we're passing over the spot right now." And Spafford came out and stood on the side of that ship and actually, through his mind, wrote this hymn. His hope was that he was sure that he would meet his children again in heaven. And his hope was that that's where they were then, even though I imagine there is sorrow. There's another great verse which we often hang on to for times of hope. You find in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." After the crucifixion and resurrection, we read in Acts 1, verse 12, "Then they returned to Jerusalem. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Mary, a heart submitted to God's will. Can you tell me those four words? Can you remember those four? What's the first one? Trusting. Second one, expectant. Third one, anxious. Fourth one. If you can remember those words, you can remember the message. That's how it works. Trusting, expectant, anxious, hopeful. We'll put those stories as you remember those four words. Someone has written, some mothers love their children selfishly. Their children exist for them. Some mothers love their children slavishly. They exist for their children. But some mothers love their children sacrificially. Their children and they exist for God. You know, it's good to give thanks for mothers, to thank them for their tireless love, tireless care, often tireless sacrifice. Mary, the mother of Jesus, even though especially set aside by the Lord for this awesome task of bearing Jesus the Saviour, was one who loved her son, but also had a heart submitted to God's will for the Son of God. We're going to finish singing a song this morning. It's called I Am Carried. I love this song. I think it's a song which we can reflect on. If you haven't sung it much, I think we have sung it here before. The first verse goes like this. Day by day and hour by hour, your love for me from heaven flows. Like streams of water in the desert, living waters flow. You walk beside me, gently guiding, leading me through every storm. Everlasting, never changing, grace and love divine. This is a song which we can take away, and mothers and fathers and children and grand. I think our Lynn and I now, as we are now, grandparents, that whole new stage. As we look at them, and I think there's times of trusting. We went to our grandson's sort of basketball game on yesterday, and 8 years old, and I'm expecting he's going to be an NBA player. I'm thinking, this could be great. But it's a whole new realm, isn't it? And so we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. And this is a great song. A great song to take hold of. Day by day and hour by hour, your love for me from heaven flows. I'm going to pass over to Lynn.